It's BBC Radio Sheffield, where we've got our book clubbers in, Lauren and Kira and Nick, and they'll swap our stories around and tell us how their own writing's going and what they take from the book that we've read. I shall also ask them, I'm asking you today, to share your love and death stories, the ones that you've read that you think that's the story that best deals with or dealt with love or death indeed. Recommend us a few stories that deal with perhaps the most important things there are, really. I'm in the studio with three guests, with me, Lauren O'Brien, Kira O'Rourke and Nick. And we're all, Nick Perring, and we're all writers in this room, and we're all talking about writing, and in particular talking about the book, which is our book of the month, The Game of Love and Death, by Martha Brockenbrough. I'm going to embarrass, make it difficult for Kira. Would you first of all tell me, please, what you thought of the book that we've all read?
I thought the premise was very interesting. I wasn't as taken to it as I felt I was going to be, and the main characters I wasn't as attached to, but I really liked the take on love and death, like, as characters, and I thought that was very interesting. That's something that kind of kept me reading.
Lauren, you were in the studio as I was doing the interview. What would you have asked the author, Martha Brockenbrough, if I'd opened your microphone at that point?
Oh no, this is difficult.
Yeah.
I think I'd ask her if there was chance for more time or a possible extension onto the book, like maybe as a duology or a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
How much would change? What would be added? How would the story differ if she had chance to develop it more?
Thanks. BBC Radio Chef, we're going to develop it more after 1:30. It's 29 minutes past one. Our monthly book club today, it's a rather special one. We're talking about a book called The Game of Love and Death, Martha Brockenbrough's book, which is all a really kind of fight between, I don't know, good and evil, bad and love and death, I suppose, really. And she was talking to us from just before she went to the gym at 5 in the morning from America, which is where she was when we last saw her. However, in the studio with me, Lauren O'Brien, Kira O'Rourke and Nick Perring, they're all involved in writing and in having read this book, and we'd kind of touched on what we thought about the book. I got the sense, in a way, Lauren, that you were kind of disappointed, even though you didn't quite say on the radio.
I think what ended up happening was I read the start of it last week, and I found it quite interesting at the start, and then I ended up finishing it yesterday, and what I've just, because I read it yesterday, like I just finished it yesterday, and I was reading through it, and the pacing for me was quite off. It just, because it's a solo novel and it's only one book, all the events that happen to it, because it is a game of love and death, and one has to win, and you know people are going to die and things are going to happen to try and drive the two apart, you know stuff's going to happen. But for me, the issue I found was the events were too close together, and it was too fast paced, so there'd be one tragic event after another tragic event after another one, and they kind of all blurred into one and just turned into one big mush in my mind where it's like, what happens again?
Thank you. Kira, if you were writing the book for Martha Brockenbrough, how would you do it differently? Because you're a bit disappointed as well.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because you obviously, when someone's written something, you know, it's difficult to get into their mindset of, you know, what they were thinking. I think, I don't know, I felt the moments between love and death were really, really good, and that's where, so I don't know if I'd want more of that, but then that disrupts your main storyline, because really the story is about Flora and Henry, and I think it's like Lauren said, I think pacing more than anything, and trying to find what would really devastate someone, because I think that's the thing as well, that once you know, sort of, it's starting so early on, it's kind of going to carry on.
Mm. And did it feel truthful about human relationships as you've observed them, or had them, or...?
In some ways, yes. It felt a bit flat at times, but I think that is because of the premise of the story. You know that really their love isn't as natural as it is.
I thought the opening was sensational, and I've not dared go much further. I'm not sure how much further, but I thought the actual originality of the opening was just wow.
Yes.
Yeah, it was... The thing as well that really surprised me as well is, like, when you talk about love and death, and you think of, like, you just imagine in your head the embodiment of love and death. You see love as the girl and death as the boy, and, you know, he's quite looming and just wants everything. But in this book, it's reversed. So death is the girl and love is the boy. And I was pleasantly surprised by that, because it's just that really interesting take on, like, oh, so love's a really romantic boy and death's just, like,
Yeah.
A girl.
What about yourself, Lauren? What are you writing at the moment? You say you've not done much this summer. What's your own writing about? Love and death and things like that, or?
I don't know. I think I'm taking on that path of, like, I want something quite high-stakes, action-filled, tense, just, like, young adult, like, not quite dystopia, but, like, magical realism, high fantasy.
Kira, what are you doing at the moment?
I'm similar, high fantasy and...
High fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, I like, it sounds really strange to say, like, high fantasy and fantasy, but, like, high fantasy kind of like Game of Thrones. Not exactly like that, but that's kind of... There isn't really that much of a resemblance of what our life is today, apart from, like, in relationships.
So, like, own world and its own universe, you've had to build the universe yourself.
But I think as well, still reflecting on, because I like a lot of things that relate to historical, so I like a lot of kind of Russian-esque kind of fairy tales.
You see, the funny thing is, if I were... I want to. You're 17, both of you, aren't you? Yeah. When you write your book, I want to read something only a 17-year-old would write. I want to remember what it was like to be 17. I want to know what the world looks like to somebody of 17. I don't want you to pretend to be an elderly author writing, I don't know, high science fiction or whatever it is. I want you to write about now and here. And
I think that's the beauty of the YA category. Like, it's a...
Young adult, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it's a it's definitely a marketing thing, but the thing that I've always found is... You can go and you can delve into, like, this idea of high fantasy and science fiction, but you don't have to sound like you're Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
And it can still be effective and it can still be gut-wrenching and you can still be, like...
Yeah, Veronica Roth wrote the first book in the Divergent trilogy while she was still in college. Yes. And so that would have been, like, 18 to 21. So that did dealt really well with the relationships of teenagers, because she was only just a couple of years older. Like, she still was a young adult. And that worked really well. And so I think when you write young adult, you've got to think, like, what were you like when you were 17?
Yeah.
Yes. That's something a lot of YA authors say. Their big thing is always, what would I have wanted when I was 17? Or I'm writing to someone that's 17.
Yeah.
That's the big thing that they always say. And I think that's the thing when it comes to writing. You've got to write for yourself.
Do you feel, when you've written for yourself, when you hand it over to somebody else, what's that moment like?
I want
to
cry in a corner.
Yeah, do you? Do you? What do you want to do, Lauren?
See, I kind of, like, pass it along, or, like, I read it out, and I'm just kind of like, oh, no, please no one critique this. No, don't say anything.
Nick, you're 37 or some such elderly age. Any advice to this lot about how to do it, how to hand it over, that moment of utter embarrassment and terror?
I've been writing for a fair old while now, and every time I have a story published, every time a book comes out, there is that...
Once it's published, though, when you've finished it...
I think it's similar, because once it's finished and somebody else is reading it, you are saying basically, here you go, what do you think of this thing that I've spent giving my heart and soul to, weeks, months, years writing? But I think you have to be professional and think, you know what, people are entitled to their opinions.
Yeah.
Some people won't like it. And I just say, but that's fine, do you write it for you.
We go and cry, don't we? thank you very much. It's been great talking, and thanks for helping us find this book, and hope listeners have found it as interesting to talk about, and indeed I hope to read as well. I'm asking everybody, if you want to join me as we talk about love and death in fiction, is it were the best love scene or the best death scene in fiction? It's a tricky one to get my head around what the question is, but all right, Nick, go on, you can start. Give us a death or a love scene.
A death or a love scene? Yeah. I think Audrey Niffeniger's The Time Traveller's Wife has things, a perfect romance. And a perfect, devastating death.
Kim?
I'm struggling. I think possibly Stephanie Garber's Caravelle. It is another young adult, and it's very night circus kind of thing. That's another book. It's got a lot of love and death in it, but it's definitely not cliched. It's very topsy-turvy. You don't know what's going to happen, you don't know who's lying, who's not, and the death in it, I'm not going to say who, because it's massively spoilery for anyone that wants to read it, is that was heartbreaking, because I was fully convinced and I was like, no, that didn't just happen, and I had to reread it. Definitely recommend
Lauren.
I think I'm going to go a bit younger than young adult. I'm going to go more like 11, 12 books targeted to 11, 12 year olds, and I'm going to say the developing love story between Percy and Annabeth from the Percy Jackson books by Rick Riordan, because the books themselves take place over 5 or 6 years, and the first 5 books, like, they slowly get, they're growing up and they're getting used to the feelings and they're getting used to one another, and then the last book, The Last Olympian, has the big fight, and the stakes are really high in that book, where it's like someone's got to die. And I'm gonna tell people, because who actually dies, but the death of Luke Castellan in the book, who is the villain, was really, really heart-wrenching, upsetting, because I was about 10 when I read the book, and it was the death of him was really heart-wrenching, because it's like, he was a good character at the start, and he was a really compelling villain, and it did really get to me, and then, like, Percy and Annabeth's love stories just stuck to me, like...
All right, we'll have that one. And I will add a love story from the same age. I was 10 when I read Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
And the love affair between Tom and Becky, I think it's the greatest love story ever written anywhere, when they finally kiss. Thank you. What have you learnt from our conversation, and what's coming next as far as you're concerned, Nick?
Gosh, what have I learnt? That everybody has an opinion and it's valid. I think one thing I will say about Martha's book that I really, really enjoyed was when it was set. I really, really loved that kind of 1930s, pre-Second World War, Hindenburg's mentioned, post-Depression. I thought it was a really interesting thing that she carried off really, really, really well. What's next? There's loads of exciting Hive things. As I say, check out the website.
Yeah.
HiveSouthYorkshire.com. I've got exciting things doing. Check out my website on nikperring.com. There's loads of things to look
great. Well, I hope you have a lovely autumn. You're right, we're heading that way, I think.
And you.
Thank you. It's a very fruitful autumn as well. It's 2:15 on BBC Radio Sheffield.